Bibles this morning, please turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Be looking at verses 8 through verse 12 this morning. And I want us to look at this thought of attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8 through verse 12. And once you find that, we'll go ahead and read that. It says, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works, what he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth." Heavenly Father, we ask you as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, that you would illuminate your Scriptures to us, that you would show us the truths you want us to glean and apply to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, I pray you would help each of us to be truly thankful individuals in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. This week, we celebrate one of my favorite holidays, that of Thanksgiving. It is probably one of the most biblical of all holidays, that of Thanksgiving. It is a time that we reflect and we rejoice and we're thankful for what we have. It is a time that our focus should be turned from ourselves, and our focus ought to be turned to others and ultimately focus upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a holiday that we are given the opportunity to be thankful. But as much as I love Thanksgiving and I love the emphasis on being thankful, what happens is many times we think this is the only time of the year we should be thankful. We think we can go our lives and we can do whatever we want. We do not need to be thankful. We need to be thankful each and every day of our lives. Now, many times, as we've looked at messages about having an attitude of gratitude or an attitude of thanksgiving, many times we say, well, yes, if things are good or bad, we're supposed to have this attitude. We're always supposed to have it. Now, in our day and age, in which the state in which we're living in, and what is taking place in our country, in our world today, many people say, well, how can you still have an attitude of gratitude? How can you still be so thankful today? Because there is still, even in the midst of all turmoil and all craziness and things we agree or disagree with, there is still so much for us to be thankful for. We have so much to praise him for. We have so much to lift up his name for. And this is an attitude that we ought to have day in and day out of our lives. Psalms chapter 15, verse 14 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High." Psalms 95 and verse number 2 says, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We know the command that is given to us throughout Scripture. We can look at many portions of Scripture, both in Old Testament and New Testament, that tells us we are to have an attitude of thanksgiving. This is a command given to each of the children of God. But I want us to look at this thought this morning as we look at this portion of Scripture. We know we're to be thankful, but how do we show this attitude of gratitude? How do we express this attitude? How is it evident in our lives? This is an attitude that every blood-bought child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords ought to be demonstrated. We ought to be thankful in our lives. This is a command given. It is not an option. It is a command given. And when we disobey a command, then we are disobedient. God has commanded his children to be thankful. But how do we express this? Look with me in verse number 8 of our text, of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Give thanks unto the Lord. The first simple way that we express thanksgiving is we just need to be thankful. We just need to give thanks. It says, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, I am thankful for other individuals. I am thankful for how other people have helped me in my life. I am thankful for individuals that God has placed in my life to be a witness and be a help, to be a mentor, to encourage me and to strengthen me. But ultimately, my thanks should not just go to my man. My thanks ought to go to the Lord, because those that helped me was sent who? By the Lord. The Lord placed them in my life. The Lord has given me the spouse that I have. The Lord has given me the family I've had. The Lord has given me this church that I have the privilege of being the pastor of. The Lord is the one that's given me. So all the thanks ought to go to the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. What does it mean to give thanks unto the Lord? Well, it says this, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. We are to call upon the name of the Lord. It's more than just going before the presence of the Lord. It's more than just a simple, oh, Lord, here I am. It's this whole idea that we are calling upon him. We're going before his presence, but we're pouring out our heart and we're saying, Lord, thank you. There's a difference. How many of you ever told someone thank you and you weren't even thinking about it when you did it? Some of us are so programmed. Someone opens the door. Now, some people are just rude and they don't do it at all. But we are so programmed. Someone opens the door for you. What do you say? Thank you. And most of the time, what happens? You don't even know you even said thank you. And then when someone says, welcome back, I know we lost that in our day and age. Most people don't even say welcome anymore. And you say thank you. And as you go through, and you don't even know you said it, and they said, well, you're welcome. You go, why did you say you're welcome? Well, you just said thank you. We've gotten so placent and so almost casual in this thought. We just say thank you, and we're not truly thankful. Sometimes we pray to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Lord, thank you for your grace that is sufficient. And we ought to thank God, but it's something we just rote memory say in our lives, and we're truly not calling unto the Lord and thanking the Lord for the grace and the mercy and the love and the faithfulness that he gives us. We aren't thanking God as we should. We aren't really calling upon him. Oh, we're saying it with our lips, but it ought to be our whole attitude of gratitude, our whole attitude of our lives. And as I'm really saying thank you, Lord, for my salvation, man, that calls me and moves me to action in my life. It's not just something I'm saying with my mouth. It's not just lip service, but it affects my whole life, my whole being. This idea of calling unto him. It says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds. We're to lift up, we're to set aside, we're to let people know how great God is. Now, as we give thanks, what's some areas we ought to give thanks for unto the Lord? We ought to give thanks unto the Lord first and foremost for our salvation. What are we to lift up? What are we to call upon in his presence? What are we to make known to among generation to generation? What are we to allow people to know? What is one of the deeds? What is one of the works that I'm to let everyone know as I lift up and I thank the Lord is for my salvation. Too often, believers take for granted their salvation. They take for granted what we have in Christ. We have to realize we have something awesome in Christ Jesus. This is salvation given to us. He's the one that pulled us out of the miry pit and set our feet upon the rock. He's the one that saved our soul. You and I have no hope besides Jesus Christ. That is the only hope we have. And so often we take for granted our salvation. We're to give thanks unto the Lord. We're to call upon his presence. We're to call upon his name. We're to lift up. We're to tell other ones about his works. We're to tell other ones about what Jesus has done in your life, in my life. I'm to be thankful for my salvation. How did I show thanks for my salvation? First and foremost, I need to thank him. But second, it ought to move me to action in my life. I ought to be busy wanting others to know about what Jesus has done for me. I ought to want to live in such a way that my whole being, my whole life is consumed of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. That ought to be your theme. That ought to be your joy of life. That you love to tell the story. You love to tell others what Jesus has done for you. If I'm truly thankful for my salvation, if I'm truly understanding all that God has done for me, I'm going to go and I'm going to share that gospel. I'm all for standing for different things in our day and age today. I'm all for making sure that we are living right and doing right and standing for what is right. But I tell you, one of the greatest things we are missing today is many individuals are not truly thankful for their salvation because we are so apt to push this and push that. But when's the last time we share the gospel and what Jesus has done for us and we let other people know that God is a God of love and loved them and died for them and rose again the third day and offered their only way of salvation, and we take that gospel message and we share it? If I'm thankful, I'm going to share the message. What else are we to be thankful for? Unto the Lord, I ought to be thankful for my salvation. But I also need to be thankful for the family God's given me. We don't have a time to do a whole study in this, but God has given you the family God has given you. We can go to Ephesians. We can go to Colossians. We can see the setup and the structure of the home. We can go back to Genesis, and we can go back and we can look about a husband and a wife being married and becoming one flesh, and we can go through and talk about this. We can understand the role of the husband and the role of the wife and the role of the children and all that takes place and all that happens and that's given. But we ought to be thankful unto the Lord for the family he's given us, no matter if they have faults or not, because you have faults too. And as we look at all the faults in them, yes, Steve, you have faults. And we look at all the faults that we have, and we look at this. We ought to give thanks unto the Lord for the family he's given us. Children, you ought to be thankful for the parents you have. Well, you don't know my parents. You don't know how mean they are. They make me clean my room. They make me take out the trash. They make me take my dishes off the table and bring them to the sink and rinse them off and put them in the dishwasher. Oh, no. They make me do mean and cruel things. You ought to be thankful for your wife. Well, preacher, you don't understand. She burns all the dinner she makes. Doesn't matter. You have to be thankful. You could cook too then. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful that God has given you. Your children are a gift from God. We ought to thank God for the gifts that he's given us. Your spouse is a gift from God. Even with all their faults, they're still a gift to God. You ought to thank God for what he has given you. We ought to be thankful. Now, if I'm thankful for the family God's given me, how does that affect me? How does that affect my life? How does that affect? I demonstrate it and I show it. Just as we take our salvation for granted, do you know we take our family for granted? We take our parents for granted. We take our kids for granted. We take our spouses for granted. And we need to be thankful for what God has given us, and we need to demonstrate that in our lives. Husbands, you're to love your wives. Wives, you're to love your husbands. And wives, as you submit unto God, you submit unto your husband, you follow his leadership, his spiritual leadership, not dictatorship, but his spiritual leadership. And you follow that. Children, you're to honor your mother and your father. You're to love them. You're to obey them. You're to watch what they're doing and learn from their lives, and you're to do what they want you to do as they follow the Lord. Parents, you're to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You're to raise your children and teach your children. If you're truly thankful for the gift God's given you, then you're going to do your part. I'm going to do my part in my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my family. I'm going to do my part and show my thankfulness for what God has given me and not take for granted what God has given me. We're to be thankful for our salvation. We need to be thankful for our family. But another area we need to be thankful in, we need to be thankful for the church that God has given us. We have a privilege here in the United States of America, and I know some countries have this as well, but at this point of our life, we are one of the most free areas that we can gather and worship together. We have that privilege, and I understand there's things that could change and things that could happen, but I thank God that we have that privilege to be able to meet together and worship together. I'm glad God has given us, and God had Jesus Christ establish the New Testament local church during his ministry. He established it for a reason and for a purpose that is given there. And we could get in the whole teaching of the local church, but we thank God for that. The purpose of the local church is not to be a social club. The purpose of the local church is to edify, to build up, is to encourage, is to fellowship, is to teach the word of God, is to be the lighthouse in the community that it needs to be, is to be a shining light bright. And we ought to thank God that we have a place to assemble. And that word church there in the Greek is ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. And we ought to thank God that we have a called out assembly, a place to come and worship together. Not only would we be thankful unto the Lord for those things, and there's much more we could thank God for. But I want you to see another way that we express it. Look at verse number 9. We give thanks. We show attitude, gratitude by giving thanks. We call upon his name. We make known his deeds. But look at verse number 9. Sing unto him. Sing psalms and hymns. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. The next area we show thanksgiving, that we show this attitude of gratitude. It has to do with the joy that's bubbling out of us. It has to do with singing. Singing has always been known with rejoicing. If you're singing, if you have a song in your heart, it's rejoicing. It's something that's coming in and out of you. That's why if you ever notice someone that is truly singing, most of the time it's because of an attitude of gratitude and rejoicing. What happens? It's bubbling out of them. Even if they can't hit a tune in a bucket, and I have my tune bucket still in the office, Steve. Even if you can't hit a tune in the bucket, there's still a smile on your face because it has nothing to do with the tone or what's coming out of this. It has to do with the heart. And as the heart is right, and as the heart has an attitude of gratitude, there's a song of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs that floods your soul and comes out of you because it's an attitude of rejoicing. It's an attitude of praise unto the Lord. You see, the way I give thanks, it comes out of me and there's joy in my heart, in my life. That's the whole idea of this psalm. We've said this before many times in our lives. You could be doing something, all of a sudden you start humming a tune. You start, those that can whistle, you start whistling a tune. Those that you start singing. And then why? Because you're just rejoicing. You're happy. You're glad. You're excited for what is happening and what's going on. And you're lifting up and you're singing this song unto the Lord. You know what we need to do sometimes? The only time you and I sing is when we're in church. And sometimes the only reason you're singing is because you know if you don't, someone's looking at you. And so I better mouth a few words. And some of you do this. You don't even know the words and you don't want to look at the hymn book, so you sing watermelon. Did you know that's a secret? If you don't know the words of the song, just sing watermelon and then you look like you're singing the words. Did you know that, Rich? See, they taught me that in choir because I couldn't sing. They didn't want me to sing. They said, just mouth the word watermelon, you'd be good. And so, you do that. Everyone's going to just do watermelon. And so, the whole idea is this. Don't just sing watermelon. Don't just sing in the church. Don't just make your lips move. It has to do with the heart. Because as we're singing in church, and that's not the only time we're going to hit this in a minute, but most time that's the only time people sing. And when we're singing, it ought to be a description of what our attitude is. And I tell you, when you're singing and we're sour, bless be the name, praise him. Oh, yeah, that. But if I'm truly praising God, man, there's joy. There's excitement that comes. And as I sing, praise him, Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. And why? There's a smile on my face. There's excitement in my soul because I'm thankful unto the Lord. It has to do with the attitude in our lives. But church ought to be the only time you're singing, because the song is a reflection of our thanksgiving unto the Lord and our attitude. You should, anywhere you're at, it might not be verbally, it might be in a space that you really can't belt it out, but you ought to have this attitude of praising God, singing to him in a song. I tell you, there's many times in my life, it's just like joy. The song just comes and you just want to sing. Why? Because you start reflecting upon the goodness of God. There's a song that's given. It's rejoicing. Look a little further in verse 9. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. As you're seeking, as you're rejoicing, this comes to your life. You know one reason you don't have a song in your heart? Is you're not seeking after the Lord. Because the Bible says this, when you get saved, he puts a new song in you. And I don't believe that song just comes in when you get saved and it goes and leaves. I believe that new song or that new joy that's in you to praise God is there with you continually. And I believe as you and I go through our lives, we ought to whistle while we work, all right? We ought to be rejoicing and singing and praising God as we're continuing in our lives. But look with me. I also want you to see as we look at this. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. You know another way that we give thanks? We give thanks unto the Lord in those areas we mentioned. We give thanks by singing unto the Lord and having that attitude of praise in our lives. But we also give thanks to the Lord by seeking the Lord. What does it mean to seek? It says, verse 11, seek ye the Lord. What does it mean to seek? It means that you are consumed with finding, that you are falling after, that you have no other desire but to put God first in your life. If you're truly seeking after the Lord, that means that is the most important thought of your life. That means God is the most important. If you're seeking after God, that means nothing else ought to take precedent in your life, in my life. If I'm truly thankful for God and what he's done, and we're going to talk about his wondrous works in verse number 12, remembering those. But if I'm truly thankful for what God has done for me, I'm going to seek after God. I'm going to seek after him. I'm going to want to be in his word. I'm going to want to be in his house. I'm going to want to be around God's people. I'm going to want to be studying. I'm going to want to be growing. I'm going to want to be maturing in my Christian life. I'm going to be wanting to do those things because I'm seeking after the Lord. If I'm truly thankful, if I truly have an attitude of gratitude in my life, I'm going to be seeking after him with all that I have, not just half-heartedly. But the Bible says we're not to be half-hearted. We're to seek God with our whole heart, with all our being, if I'm truly thankful. I'm not going to leave my first love. I'm going to make my first love what he ought to be in my life. I'm not going to just do things half-hearted. I'm going to put my all into it, and I'm going to seek Lord if I'm truly thankful. It carries this idea of seeking him, to follow him, to tread, to follow. But look as we look at this thought. Seek the Lord and his strength. And what are we supposed to do this? How long? Seek his face continually. It is not something I do one day and I don't do the next. Continually means it is something that we do repeatedly over and over and over again. Am I seeking the Lord? continually. I believe many believers today do this. God gets a hold of us. God brings us to a place that we repent. We know we aren't living right. We know we're not doing right. And we start to seek God. And we start to pour everything into it. That lasts for a couple days. And then we go a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year, and we aren't seeking God. It ought to be something we do every day. Now, I know we're going to fail. I know we're going to stumble. We all do. But what we need to do is ask God forgiveness, get back going again, because it's something we ought to be doing. But what are some steps we need to be taking to seek God continually in our lives? There's some steps that you and I need to be doing, because it's a continued action. These are the basic building blocks to a Christian life that we ought to be doing if we're going to truly seek the Lord. And some people say, well, I'm not seeking God continually. Well, we're not taking the blocks. We're not taking the steps to seek the Lord continually. This is simple. This is little kids' stuff that we teach our little kids. But it's stuff that we as adults need to go back to, and we need to make sure we're having those steps. One of the ways that you and I continue to seek the Lord is we need to be in His Word. Well, we all know that. I know. We all know that. We've all heard that 5,000 billion trillion times in our lives. We need to be in the Word of God. But one of the reasons we do not seek the Lord continually is we're not taking the first step in that building block. That first step in that building block is we need to be in the Word of God if I'm going to continue to seek Him. I don't know God. I don't know more about God. I don't know what I need to do in my life if I'm not in His Word. We cannot live how we should live. We cannot seek after God as we should if I'm not being taught from His Word. I need to be in His Word. That's a simple, easy step in our lives. But let's be honest. It's a hard step. It's simple to say, but it's hard. Because as we know, as important as this step is, if we're going to seek after God, as you and I go our daily lives, there is so much that comes in and creeps in, and so much that gets our attention, and so much that gets our time, that many times the simple block of reading the Word of God gets left out. We get busy, and then by the time we think of it, we're tired. And then we may even try to do it, but we fall asleep trying to do it. Why? Because we miss what we ought to be doing. This ought to be a block. What's another simple block in our Christian life that we ought to do if we're seeking after the Lord? Not only reading the Word of God, we need to be praying. We need to be praying. Another one. Well, preacher, we've heard this since we were children. We heard that song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying. We need to be communicating with God. We've heard messages that He's our advocate. We understand that we can go boldly unto the throne of grace. We know all this, but it's a simple building block, and many believers go a long period of time without seeking the Lord by not communicating with Him. Communication with our God is a key in seeking after the Lord. Another simple building block is that of being in God's house. It's a simple building block. It's a block that we need to take and apply to our hearts and lives. We need to be with God's people, around God's people, studying the Word of God together, praying together, worshiping together. That is a simple building block in the Word of God. We're to follow after Him. We're to do this continually in our lives. We're to have an attitude of gratitude. We're to have this attitude, we're to give thanks, we're to sing, we're to rejoice in Psalm, we're to follow Him. But I want you to look a little further here as we look at this morning. Verse number 12, remember His marvelous works. Remember His marvelous works. As I'm having this attitude of gratitude, I must remember His marvelous works. That word marvelous carries the idea of majestic. It carries the idea of grand. We are talking about greatness. We are talking about these mighty works that God has given. Remember the greatness of God. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. The wonders of God. Remember all His works. Well, what are some of the works God's done? Well, let's go back. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One of the wondrous works that we need to remember. One of the great works that God has done that we need to remember, this marvelous works, is that He created this world. In six literal 24-hour days, God created this world. This world was not created by some big bang. This world was created by God. This world was created by Him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You say, well, preacher, I believe something else took place. Then you don't believe the Word of God, because my Bible does not lie. Jesus is truth. And the Word of God says, in the beginning, God created this heaven and earth. It does not say in the beginning that some scientific experiment created this, or some type of little creatures came about and man and woman were created. No, it says in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. It says in the beginning God made man out of the dust of the earth. It says and God breathed into man, and out of the side of man God created Eve, and God created the fishes, the stars, and all that. God created. And after God created each of those days and God created those things, He said it was good. My God created this. That's a marvelous work. Another marvelous work that we see is how God took His people and led them out of bondage and out of slavery. How God took His people and guided them and took them into the promised land. How God saved His people, kept His people, and how God, even another wondrous work, went from the Jew to the Gentile to allow salvation. How God took, and God, as you go through the Word of God, how He healed and how He sent His only begotten Son. Another marvelous work is God sent His only begotten Son to a virgin to be born, to the sole purpose of going the old-fashioned cross, to go the old rugged cross and dying on that cross to offer the way of salvation. God did that as a marvelous work. A marvelous work as we think about and the wonders of God and what God has done. He has provided salvation. Salvation for mankind. That's a wondrous work. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a part of that work. And you need to remember what God has done for you in regards to salvation. But God didn't just stop there with the salvation. God, after He saved you, is there with you each and every day of your life and my life. And this is a marvelous work that He didn't just save us and leave us. He saved us and He's there with us. He's there to sustain us and to keep us and to help us and to secure us and give us what we need in our lives. Another wondrous works is that our salvation is not in us. Our salvation is Him, and no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. Another marvelous work as we look at is that someday that we leave this world and God has provided a place for us to be with Him for all of eternity. This is all part of God's marvelous works. We need to remember what God has done and what God will do in our lives. And as we remember, we ought to thank God. We ought to thank God in glory. Look at this. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and His judgments of His mouth. Go back to verse 10. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. As I remember His wondrous works, what am I to do? I'm to glory in His name. My life ought to be pointing people to the Savior. My attitude ought not to be an attitude of bitterness, of resentment, of hatred. My attitude ought to be an attitude of thankfulness to God. And if I have a true attitude of thankfulness to God for all God has done for me, it ought to be shown day in and day out of my life. We need believers today that understand we are to be thankful, but understand how we're to show it and be showing it day in and day out. When people come across you as a believer and across myself, they need to see that we are truly men and women of God who are thankful to our God for what He's done for us. It ought to be shown how you respond. It ought to be shown how you live. It ought to be shown in every aspect of your life, in my life. Let me ask you a question this morning. If you're saved this morning, are you showing this attitude of gratitude? If we're not, why aren't we? You know what hinders our attitude of gratitude? Sin gets in the way. As I said in the beginning, it is a command. And if we disobey it, we're sinning. Because to him that knoweth the good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And sin gets in our way of having a rejoicing, thankful attitude. Every believer, no matter what you're going through, no matter what we're facing, ought to be expressing thanksgiving day in and day out. Let's have this attitude in our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, I pray you just use this simple message that we looked at just to encourage our hearts, to remind us of these simple truths. Lord, help us to truly be thankful day in and day out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and stand.